Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The family of Nicola Bulley say they can now let her rest, but questions linger over why it took more than 3 weeks for her to be discovered. She was last seen on the 27th of January, and her body was retrieved from the River Wyre on Sunday. NHS leaders have pleaded with the government to negotiate on pay as junior doctors in England announce plans for a 72-hour walkout next month. The BMA Junior Doctors Committee co-chair, Dr. Robert Lawrenson, says he's not surprised.
Anyone who knows and speaks to doctors does not find this result shocking. I think this has been coming for some time, and I think it's been obvious to most doctors that this was going to have to be the type of action that we would take to get this rather callous government to the table to discuss pay.
Rishi Sunak is holding a cabinet meeting today as the UK and EU try to agree a deal on the Northern Ireland Protocol. Downing Street insists a final deal has not yet been struck. From Radio News Hub, I'm Andy Hoyle.
I'm a British Gas money saving engineer, helping protect homes and wallets. Home care covers your heating, plumbing, electrics and drains, but most of all, it helps protect you from surprise repair bills. The last thing anyone needs right now. So if anything goes wrong, we'll be around to put it right. And if you buy British Gas Home Care now, you get your first 3 months half price. Bish bosh, less dosh. Search British Gas Boiler Cover.
Offer ends 20th of February. Excludes Home Care Basic. Features vary across products. Geographical restrictions and terms apply.
Colourful.
Coming up next,
colourful,
Julius
colourful,
on Colourful Radio.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Colorful,
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 Julius.
Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful,
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 Julius.
Colorful,
colorful Radio.
Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. We are coming to you wherever you are from the heart of London on Colourful Radio. Our focus today, the Africa Sender. How much do you know about the Africa Sender? Well, don't worry. We got that covered. Just join us and let us explore this together. The Africa Sender was opened in 1964 at 58 King's Street in London by the former president of Zambia, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda. In the words of the late South African Bishop Desmond Tutu, the Sender became a home to all who are Africans and all those who cared for the interests of the continent and its people. In the words of Richard Dowden, Africa Sender became the place for African presidents, freedom fighters, writers, and artists to speak and debate. You could find everything African there, from Ghanaian food to fierce debates and fantastic parties. Sometimes all three at the same time on a Saturday night, a high life or Congolese band playing to a crammed floor of dancers, while below in the basement, radicals and reactionaries sipped paper soup and argued about evolutionary versus revolutionary change. Africa Center now has a new home on 66 Suffolk Street in Southwark, London. It has carried on with the great work it has always done over the years. Its mission remained to educate, connect, and advocate for Africa and its global diaspora. And on 26 January this year, King Charles III visited the center and our radio channel, Colorful Radio. The King came to our studios as well as chatted with our channel's founder, Kofi Kusita. To share this great moment, first, Belfin Tabuya, the head of marketing and communication at the Africa Center, spoke to Professor Oba Tumpe, the chairman of the Board of Trustees.
Hello, everyone. My name is Belvin Tawia, the head of marketing and communications here at the Africa Center. And with me is Mr. Oba Nsugbe, KC, King's Counsel. Maybe you can elaborate on why today was special.
Well, today was special because we welcomed the King.
Yes.
It's the second time he has visited the Africa Center in one way or another. He came in 1988, and it was important that he came to see where we are now.
Yes.
We've moved locations. It's a new chapter for us. We've got new imperatives. It's a different time for Africa. It's a different time for our communities. So it is important that the King came to come in here where we are and what we're doing.
He seemed to be enjoying himself. Obviously, you were with him pretty much throughout this talk. Yeah, what were your observations?
He was exhilarated, not just by the music, because, of course, as Africans, we can't move without music, but also by the conversation and also by, I think, the sense of optimism that comes from the Africa Center. The fact that he met a number of very, very interesting people from our different constituents of our communities. And to be fair to him, he has a genuine interest in Africa.
Excellent.
So the discussion was all Africa-focused.
Okay.
And that did excite his interest. So we all know that Africa is the youngest continent.
Sure.
And so that brings with it challenges. It brings with it opportunities. So we looked at the idea of what are young people who are going to be something like 1 billion in 30 years? What are they going to be doing? We also looked at the idea of the environment, sustainability, climate change. We talked about the impact of climate change, not from European angle, but from an African angle.
Yes.
What's the impact on Africa? And we had around the table, we had ambassadors, we had business leaders, we had artists, we had restaurateurs. We had everybody in that kind of ecosystem.
Yeah.
And indeed, the King engaged in that conversation with his interest in agriculture and indeed his knowledge. He was very interested. Apart from that, he came to see our exhibition, Climate Change, Our Story, which is done by Africans. Some of those artists are based on the continent, which for us is very important because it provides that authentic voice, which is the Africa Center is, and also some of the artists are based here and the diaspora is our other constituency.
So it was really great to see, you know, the crowds that were in the building. It's always special to see people in the space. That's what the Africa Center is about. But obviously there were many more that weren't able to, to attend today. So what will be your message to, our wider communities and audiences? Just around how they can be more involved with this new exciting chapter of the Africa Center.
Follow the Africa Center. Show an interest. Come to some of the meetings we're going to convene. We will get out there ourselves to some areas where we think we can make a difference. But we're very, very open to all views, open to all sides of our communities. We know that we're not going to get it right always. We know that there's a mountain of advice, of expertise, of support out there, and we have to find it. It's for us. So we're just custodians, but we realize very much that we're custodians of something very important, focus on Africa. And so the communities, we open our arms and we say to them, please come, get in touch with us, follow us on
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
In preparation for the visit by King Charles III, the Africa Center team had prepared an exhibition based on the impact of climate change in Africa, and as well, they were ready to communicate problems faced by the African community at all levels. I spoke to an artist and a curator behind the exhibition, and these were Hannah Ozu and Aja Fanta.
Afternoon, and it's great to meet you. What a day. And it starts by just telling us your name and your work.
Hello, everyone. My name is Hannah Uzo. I did a painting of a phenomenal woman called Sarah Forbes Bonita Davies. And the painting is part of a collection of other paintings in the exhibition Painting Our Past by English Heritage.
How long have you been doing this?
So I've been studying art formally for the last 4 years. Even though my parents told me by the time I was two, I was already, you know, doodling on the walls. But formally, I've been studying art for 4 years.
And today, of course, the moment you started doing this, did you envisage it, or did you imagine one day you'd be standing next to the king? How did it feel?
It's really incredible. My father had told me that my paintings would bring me to this moment. So I'm not surprised, but it was really such a great honor.
And of course, you're from Zambia. Your artwork, anything that inspires you from Zambia, maybe?
Not particularly at this particular moment. I think because my art practice, I think, has evolved from when I was painting in Zambia. And I've lived now in the UK for almost 20 years. So that's a significant part of my life that's been informed now by my current, you know, diasporic experience. Oh, yeah. And so my Zambian artistic heritage, I do return occasionally to see what is happening within the art climate. And things are beginning to shift and move in a direction which I think is maturing the art scene, unlike at the time when I was in Zambia when I was still a teenager.
Tell us a bit about the work that is being exhibited here today.
Well, today in the Painting Our Past exhibition is only a painting by Michaela Lowe, and that painting is about Dido Elizabeth Bell. And the rest of the works include portraits, to be specific, portraits of people of African and Caribbean heritage that have lived in England, or, you know, came into England over the last 600 or so years, because I think because we're starting during the Roman times with Septimus Severus, which was AD 152 and 180. So we're going way back, and then there's Abbot Hadrian as well, round about, you know, 630 century. So we're going way back and looking at this African and Caribbean or individuals and bringing their imagery in terms of portraiture from that past right up to the 19th century with Arthur Roberts, who died in England in 1982.
And since, of course, you went back in history, did you see anything that has been changing culturally or socially?
I think, to be honest, in terms of the, you could say, people of African and Caribbean heritage living in England, that's been going on for such a long time. And in terms of the culture, I think what's happening now is people are just beginning to wake up and realize that African and Caribbean people from diaspora have been here for ages. And it's just that we have had bigger waves in some instances, in some centuries, and some smaller waves in some others. But there is a continuous thread of the presence of African and Caribbean people. And generally, you know, diverse people from the rest of the world coming into England, because it was at the time one of the biggest empires, and so its influence had gone across the world. And as a result of that, you know, England was sort of like a place where people were drawn to generally over time.
Thank you very much for your time. Of course, we'll revisit this in a bigger way.
Certainly, thank you.
Would you kindly start by telling me your name and what you do?
My name is Hadja Fanta. I'm a curator based in London, who's also from Sierra Leone.
Yeah, and how long have you been doing curating?
I would say on and off for like the last 5 years. I moved into it more full time over the pandemic. And actually one of the first opportunities I got to curate was this exhibition here at the Africa Centre surrounding the topic of climate change. I've worked with Home with by Ronan McKenzie and lots of different projects on like programming, research and strategy.
And of course, it's always busy when you're working. You get your hands dirty and it's too tiring. But today, speaking to the king, how did that make you feel? Did you appreciate your work more?
I think for me it was, you know, I think the message, the overall message of the exhibition is really important to me. And I think, you know, what I guess is special is, I guess, the wider engagement of that exhibition. Yes, it's nice to have the kin come and see the exhibition, but even beyond that, in terms of like telling the truth and shifting that, the kind of harmful narrative that we get about Africa and the climate, you know, relating to overpopulation and things like that, and that's not actually the root cause of the climate change, the impact of climate change that we're seeing on the continent. And this exhibition covers a lot on environmental colonialism and the impacts of colonialism on how the climate exists today in Africa. Also looks at things like waste management and like activism. So it covers a broad range of topics. So it's really nice to, you know, the exhibition got extended, so it's really nice to have it on.
Pretty much topical, isn't it?
Yes, very much so.
Talking about climate change. And I was in Africa in October.
Mm-hmm. Where were you in Africa?
Kenya.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on there, yeah.
There's a big spring connecting to a valley full of water,
mm-hmm.
but I found out the water has been moving away from the source,
mm-hmm.
by almost 100 meters.
See?
And I was like, wow, this is real. But then again, away from talking about that, there's many countries going through drought in Africa.
East Africa in particular, I've seen droughts, the water, it's even the shift in how the rain is, you know, the rain patterns and how integral that is to farmers. So it doesn't just affect, you know, it doesn't just disturb your day to day. It affects food, it affects how things grow, it affects how then people go and sell this stuff, which affects people's day to day lives, which leads to poverty, you know, so everything has a knock on effect. And so I think it's really important that, you know, us as Africans, first of all, I think contribute to the narrative, but also the West take responsibility for the narrative that they have been spewing. But us seeing how we can build a sustainable future, where I believe our economic future is ahead of us, it would be important whilst we're building infrastructures and trying to build, you know, have something for ourselves, to consider the climate in that and looking how we can be creative and sustainable in a sustainable manner, which is really difficult, that we have to kind of deal with the ramifications of, you know, Western behaviour. But ultimately, it's kind of, it's a sad situation, but it's just where we're at, and we just have to seize this opportunity so that for generations to come to be able to exist.
And of course, having gone through curating this theme of climate change, I just came from the COP27, of course, happening there. Do you think the Western narrative captures the realities on the ground in Africa, for example, and when you compare Africa to the rest of the world, and who's biggest polluter?
Absolutely not. I think that, absolutely not. I think it's highly insulting. There's actually someone who does a lot of work on the continent called Maldo Jallo, who spoke at the Royal African Society recently, and, you know, he raised some really interesting points about how Western media and like Western influence, kind of on that topic of climate change, that it is almost insulting about how they think we're behaving. How, you know, if you look at a lot of our cultures, a lot of us, we are quite sustainable people. You know, I know everyone has looked in the ice cream bowl, and it's not ice cream; it's rice and stew, or it's something else. So I think that, you know, I think there's work to be done in shifting that narrative. I think there's also kind of being able to create a separate space where we talk for ourselves and I hear ourselves out and kind of move forward in that direction. I guess it's hard to compete with Western media as it is such a global thing. Yeah. But, you know, you see, it's not just Africa. You look at countries in the global south, you know, things that happen in Bangladesh and India and Pakistan, you know, it's affecting everywhere.
Yeah.
Caribbean.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
No worries.
For Africa Center to be where it is, a lot of work has gone into it, as Julian Boite, one of the trustees, shares.
Okay, let's start. Thank you for your time. Just start by telling us your name and your role.
Great. My name is Julian Boite. I'm the one of the younger trustees here at the Africa Center.
And of course, not long ago, we saw the relaunch of the African Center. And of course, today we have the His Majesty the King. I mean, what does that make you feel?
It's kind of an incredible sense of pride. I mean, a lot of work has gone into the center over the last kind of 12 to 18 months with the relaunch of the new center and even in preparation for this as well. So onwards and upwards, it just makes me feel that, you know, we've got a lot more work to do to ensure that we can keep things going.
And could you maybe shed a bit of light about the visit of the His Majesty the King today?
I guess it's more of an opportunity, really, just to continue to bridge the gap and to invite conversations to be had. I know that there was a round table there. I wasn't fortunate enough to actually be around, but he did speak to a lot more influential figures just around a range of topics, with a heavy focus on sustainability and climate change.
And of course, upstairs, today we had an exhibition with the theme of climate change. We know the His Majesty the King is very focused on climate change. Did maybe during the curating and preparation, was it informed by his passion for climate?
Absolutely, yeah. So we were told beforehand, and a lot of the visit and the program was centered around climate change, sustainability, but other topics as well. We were well informed what we'll have before planning. So.
Great, and of course now all these things happening and revitalization of the Africa Center, where do you see this going soon, or going to process, or how do we see it in the future? The hub for what, like when in piece of his African experience?
Yeah, I think the whole goal of the Africa Center really is to continue to be a kind of a pioneering space for African art, contemporary excellence, entrepreneurship, innovation. And I think with this visit and everything else, it just really gives us the opportunity to continue to do that.
Thank you very much for your time.
Colorful radio.
To some, it was first-time visit to the Africa Center, and to others, it was a repeat visit. I spoke to Anton Modi and Annie Ongundeyi.
Would you start by telling us your names and your role?
Yeah, my name is Anthony Modi. I'm a solicitor based in London. My office is in Barnet.
And is it your first time in the Africa Center?
Yes, it is. And I'm delighted to be here. It's a shame I haven't been here before now, but now that I know where the place is, I like to come back here again.
They have an African restaurant. They cook all types of African dishes here.
Well, so I gather. I can't wait to have a taste of what they're offering us today. I just heard from the Tano that there'll be food, so I'm looking forward to that.
Exactly. In terms of Africa Center, your first time and what you've seen so far, what comes to mind?
Well, I'm quite impressed to see a group of Africans in the room. And I know there's an art exhibition, which is very dear to me. I trained as an artist before I became a lawyer, so I'm looking forward to seeing the exhibition. I really am pleased about this center, and I'm interested. I'm happy with what I'm seeing.
A long time ago, when Africa Center started at Covent Garden, the original one, of course, it wasn't as strong as this and extremely a bit, you know, when you look into the management and the level of funding and all that, this is 100 times bigger. That transition, what does it tell you, like, our African experience in London or in the UK?
Well, it tells me that Africans have come up in leaps and bounds, not just in numbers, but in terms of what we do in the UK. People are setting up businesses, people are involved in big corporations, and we're making our mark in the economy of the UK.
And the visit by His Majesty the King?
Absolutely. Again, that's a landmark for the King to recognise the contributions Africans are making. And so he saw it fit to come and, you know, see the centre, and that's impressive.
Thank you, sir, for your time.
Thank you.
Can you start by telling us your name and what you do?
My name is Honey Ogundeyi. I'm the CEO and founder at Educoya, which is an education technology company focused on Africa.
Well, that's brilliant. That's what I wanted to do when I grew up. I'm just joking. Okay, what does that involve?
So, Educoya has an online tutoring platform where parents can connect to high-quality teachers for real-time interactive classes for kids in primary and secondary school. So we're solving a problem of making education, high-quality education, more accessible and more affordable to more families across Africa.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. So,
sir, can I go?
Yeah, exactly. So the question is, have you been to the Africa Centre before? Have you been to the Africa Centre before?
Yes, I have been to the Africa Centre several times.
Wow, so you're a veteran.
Yes. It's one of my favourite places in London.
Great. So, I mean, if you look back to when you came and today the visit by the King, what comes to your mind?
I think it's a really memorable place. And I think today's visit was a combination of all the fantastic work that the Africa Centre's been putting together. Really bringing communities together, creating exciting events where we can connect and be engaged and interactive. And I think it was really great to meet the King today and for him to see some of that amazing work on display.
Oh, that's great. So now, like someone dealing with youths, of course, the year gap that you gave me, when you see this being here, and when you think about children with African origin, what should we give more to youths from here?
So I think the opportunity around providing like high quality education exists even in the UK, particularly with underserved and marginalized communities, and also across Africa. So I think the connections between the two can be found across many different sectors, and I think the work to be done, the opportunity is there across for all.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
This is Colorful Radio.
Colorful Radio.
Colorful.
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 Genius.
Colorful.
Colorful Radio.
Dr. Yemisi Akindele is an education consultant. She was happy to visit for the first time, a day which coincided with the King's visit.
Hello. Let's start. You telling us your name and what you do.
Okay, so good afternoon. My name is Yemisi Akindele. I'm an education consultant for High Achievers Academy, a company I founded over 25 years ago.
Is it operational in the UK or is it global?
It's operational in the UK. It's obviously established here in the UK, set up as a company, and we work out of Africa, Nigeria being the biggest, Gambia, Senegal is coming up, and we're hoping to go into the likes of Sierra Leone, Togo, and indeed most African countries.
What does it involve, basically? Like, what is it you're doing?
Okay, so basically we work with young people, children and young adults, getting them into the best schools on scholarships and bursaries. So we support families, parents who want to put their children in top independent schools. So we support them with that. We work with families who have children with special education learning, so we help them in that. And I'm also an advocate for children,
So where we have children that have been excluded from school for whatever reason, my role is to support those families and see how best we can work with the children and get them back into the mainstream schools or indeed back into an independent school.
Have you been to the Africa Center before?
This is my first time. I didn't realize how massive it is. You know, it's a real pleasure being here today, most especially for the reason why I'm here today. So I'm really happy that I came on the day that the king was visiting. Yeah.
And how do you feel when you see Africa Center? Of course, the center for our pride as Africans in the diaspora. How do you feel when you see the king here?
It was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. It was, I think, I was going to say life-changing for some of us, because I listened to what some of the people said, and I think it was a life-changing experience for them. Why? Because there were certain things that they had wanted to voice out in the past that they had the opportunity to do today. He's obviously, you know, engaged with a lot of us today. I had the opportunity to speak with him, to speak about my work, and he was interested in what I do and wanted to know how far I want to take that. So yeah, it was quite good.
It's brilliant. So how do you see your organization looking in the near future? Are there things maybe you're going to modify, change, or are you going global?
Yeah, we're already global, and we can only go higher. The way we work is we continue to improve in what we're doing. It's upscaling. It's making sure we're meeting the needs of the people. It's making sure we stay true to our vision. But most importantly, changing lives. And that's what it's all about, changing one life at a time, giving children the opportunity that they would ordinarily never have had, and seeing young people in those corridors of power where we want to see them, hear them, knowing fully well that if you nurture a child, you will get the best out of them. This year, we're hoping to have an event called the Gathering of High Achievers, which will be bringing back most of our students that started from when they were age 4. Some of them are 20, in their 20s, in their 30s. In fact, the oldest that I can think of right now will be turning 40 this year. We're bringing them all back, you know, to showcase them as Black excellence. And yes, they're all mostly African children doing great things in the UK.
Wow, I'm impressed. I hope I'll be there. For late starters like me, how do they join?
It's not a problem. We look after the elderly as well. So, yes, we do. I believe in long-term, long-life learning. I myself returned to university after studying accounting and finance when I was, you know, much, much, much younger, many moons ago. And I went back to school to study law. So I believe in lifelong learning.
Thank you. So there's hope.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always hope. Always hope.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome, sir.
Africa Center has gone through a lot of changes.
So let's start by you telling us your name and your role.
Sure. Hi, and thank you. I'm Unzube Ufodike. I'm a trustee here at the Africa Center.
How long have you been a trustee?
The short answer would be 3 years, but I've actually been part of the Africa Center for the best part of 10 years. I started as an active volunteer and supported and worked with the charity in various capacities, including a couple of the committees, but became more formally engaged 3 years ago as a trustee at the Africa Center.
Well, since you started, and today probably, would you say it's like the climax, because what you're doing, Africa Center, African issues, African culture being promoted, African education, all these things African, and it's in the diaspora. Where? In the biggest capital in the world. You hosting is Majesty the King.
Wow, that's a pinch you moment or a pinch myself moment. I think over the last 10 years, if I can just reflect, I haven't thought about it that way, but when I first joined as a volunteer, I remember it was on the back of me being critical about the Africa Center, who were kind enough to host me and engage me on an initiative that I was running. I felt there were gaps and gave that feedback to the then trustees, who were generous enough to invite me to help with, being part of a solution, right? And from my perspective, I think that's always a good thing. It's always better to, try and help solve problems as opposed to just point them out. So I took the challenge. The chair, the vice chair at the time, who is our current chair, Oba Nsugbe, was generous and included me in lots of opportunities to be part of that change that we all wanted to see within the Africa Center. Fast forward, we are a lot more financially sustainable today than we were 10 years ago. We've had to restructure the organization, the charity itself. We've had to release a new constitution, which was the first time in, I believe, over 30, 40 years that we had a constitution changed or adopted. There's also been a renewed drive for younger trustees. Our visibility in the community is still in need of work, and we are conscious of that. We are also doing stuff to engage on that front. But to host His Majesty the King today, which is not as abstract as some might think, because we have a history with then Prince Charles. He visited the center in the late 80s, and at the time he came on the back of an invitation around an exhibition, I believe it was launching then. What's also, I guess, less known is there was an active conversation around engaging with then Prince Charles for an exhibition that we were going to have last year. And unfortunately, his mother passed, which led to us changing the dates for his visit. So for us, it's a continuation and a sort of reinvigoration of an existing channel of communication that we'd like to continue to deepen, if possible.
That's great. And when you look into the embracement, the embracing of youths, young agenda, because you say that's the narrative, that's what the Africa Center is doing at the moment. When you look into that, you feel like you're doing enough and a lot has to be done, and then you look into the future. How do you see it panning out?
There is a committee we have that focuses on the Young Africa Center. I'm not part of that committee. I focus more on income gen and financial sustainability. But from the last board meeting we had, it sounds like there is a lot that's being done. So two trustees that are leading on that charge are Ethel and Julian. And their passion, their commitment, their drive, their engagement for me is second to none. And I look forward to seeing much more as we go forward. I believe they've also engaged a couple of other really inspiring individuals. So we should be seeing some results soon from the young drivers of that sort of new Africa Center, Young Africa Center narrative.
Thank you very much. Let me say congrats, and let His Majesty keep coming, especially there's the food at the Africa Center restaurant.
Yes, so come chop. The food is delish.
Thank you. During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream
that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Chike Anzuonye, operations officer and an artist by profession, shares about his long journey with the Africa Center.
My name is Chike Anzuonye. First and foremost, I'm a professional artist working in different media, acrylic, oil, watercolor, etc. But also, I'm the venue and events officer, manager at the Africa Center. Yes, that's who I am.
Okay. Art, being an artist takes many forms. You could be a musician, you could be the person who draws fantastic features. The word is confusing. Which is which in your
case? Well, my case is I'm a visual artist. I paint portraits. I started actually with portrait painting. I made a lot of income through portrait painting. And then but now I've been doing more of stylized work, which is between abstraction and figurative work. But I was trained at the University of Nigeria, Nsukka, and it took 5 years of training, and which made it possible for us to, or for me, and maybe anyone that went through that university to be able to master different skills, not just your area of specialization. So I'm a visual artist. Yes.
Wow. And in terms of joining the Africa Center, how did that happen, and how long ago, and how has it been?
Well, I can't talk about my relationship with the Africa Center just as something that started now. I've been actually visiting the Africa Center since the 80s, late 80s. As a matter of fact, when Nigel Watt was the director of the Africa Center, I was living in his house, and as were so many people from Africa who wanted a place to stay. So I stayed in his house for 2.5 years before I moved on to some other place. So I have always been part of the Africa Center. I used to do art workshops. I used to do things like school art workshops, drawing, batik, tie and dye, with also language. I was also teaching Igbo language at the Africa Center then. There's so many things I was doing then in the Africa Center.
Oh, you remember Calabash Restaurant?
Yes, throughout that period. So I was always, I've always had a presence at the Africa Center. I used to frequent Limpopo Club, every weekend to dance to Wala's music. Wala was recently late Wala. Was fantastic. I used to bring just apart from being a DJ, he used to bring live music from Africa to come and play at the Africa Center, and I enjoyed it hugely. It was amazing. And then when we're hungry, we go down to the Calabash restaurant to eat some food. So it's a time that I cherished so much, a lot of dancing, a lot of enjoyment, to go to the Africa Center. So the Africa Center did not just start now, it started way back. And I'm just glad that I happen to be part of the new Africa Center. What I mean new is we have a new building now, we have a new space here, and a lot of things are happening, and I'm happy to be part of, the team that made it to work. Right through the opening ceremony and then where we are now. And today, we are welcoming the King, King Charles.
How did that make you feel, hosting His Majesty the King?
Yeah, it was amazing hosting the Majesty the King. You know, it was incredible. You know, I had a lot of chat with him today, and you know, wanted to know more about my job, and you know, I was able to speak with him. You know, it's quite very nice, and you know, he jokes a lot, and I think, you know, I enjoyed it. I'm sure every other person enjoyed his visit today. I'm so proud of the Africa Center, proud of my team, I'm proud of the trustees. You know, we all work together to make it work.
That's fantastic. Thank you for your time. Of course, we keep this conversation going. I'm sure a lot will keep happening in this place.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm glad that I have the opportunity to be here at this present time, because everything is about the moment, you know, not about the past. The moment, creates the future. You know, that's how I look at it. You know, there's not so much going. The past is good, you know, but also we take things from the past, you know, to help us navigate our way to the future. But the most important part is in the middle. The middle part, which is the present moment, is very, very important. And like today, what happened today was just historical. Remember the last time the King came, the Africa Center was in 1988. It's a long time ago.
Long time.
Yeah, and now he's at the time he was the Prince of Wales. Now he's here today. He came here today as a king. You know, it's a historical visit, in my opinion.
Thank you very much. Good. Congrats for the good work.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Africa Festival, exhibitions, debates, and also business still continue to happen in the Africa Center. A good example will be last year's Christmas market.
My name is Richmond Osiakoto. I am the founder of Afiakos. You're at the Africa Center at the Spirit of Africa Christmas Market. We're having a great time.
I'm Leanne, and my business name is Leanne Creative. And I'm a graphic designer and illustrator, and I create greeting cards and gifts that represent the African diaspora. And so this is my first time actually being at the Africa Center. It's been a great experience. All the customers and all the staff here have been really friendly. And it's like, it's a quite nice modern area.
Hello guys, I'm Amanda from Walmart Accessories. And my business is about everything about shells, colorful, unique accessories. I really enjoy the market today because we have food, we have facilities. The build is just amazing. It's new. We have a good environment and amazing music.
So my name is Aisha. My brand name is Jewel Kachobe. My brand is to tell a story through my jewelry. Stories about Africans. So what I did enjoy today is connecting with my other fellow brand owners, and it was lovely to be together.
I have learned so much in terms of communication, talking to different people,
talking to the vendors. Everybody's really happy with how things have gone. They felt that the people that have come have been really engaged.
I've enjoyed seeing different products from all part of the continent, so different food, different art, all showing the power of the African continent.
I personally would like to thank everyone that was behind this, and that's got me to be here in the first place.
I really enjoyed myself. It's always good to come to the Africa Center.
It was lovely to be here. You should all do the same. Come here and visit the African Center.
indeed the power of the African continent. And of course, we have the Africa Sender, which will continue to champion the rights, champion the plight, champion the interest of the Africans and also the Africans in the diaspora. And as for me and the Africa Sender, we have a long history. I enjoyed my meal in the Calabash restaurant at King Street, those long time gone days. Of course, those who know Africa Sender define it as a home away from home to many Africans. So you continue to support, you continue to be there, you know, engage with the Africa Sender, and, you know, we'll carry on the mission. The mission of the Africa Sender goes on.
Colorful radio.
Morning call, never me no guy. Don't forget it, dear.
full of feelings and a heart full of regrets. This baggage is confit to no plane, don't mean to digress. I wanna know, what's the reason why you moving slow? As you move, no, they cross my lane. Shorty nonsense, my girl to mommy. My girl to mommy, if you get the problem, my girl to mommy. My girl to mommy, I defy my own demons, don't you see? Don't know, don't you see if you get the problem? My girl to mommy, my girl to mommy. No.
Oh, yeah, mommy, choco, choco, to mommy, go. And I know for life for you, mommy, yo, yo. Go loco, mommy, yo. I mean, not the love, but they try me, yo. Say my can life, no day funny, yo. Many things I seen feed up by me, yo. Big money, man, nothing tiny, yo. I mean, not the take
man, I find my own demons, yeah. Keep the bad energy going, yeah. Play with no time when you see us, yeah. We got the right energy on, yeah. Bust to the rhythm, nothing long, yeah. With a fly, with a thing on, yeah. And who know they grind, know they belong, yeah. Bad energy, you know, come as I. The bad energy gone. Play with no time when you see us. We got the right energy on. Bust to the rhythm, nothing long. With a fly, with the thing on. And who know they grind, know they belong. Bad energy, no come as I. Shorty nonsense, my girl to mommy. My girl to mommy. If you get the problem, my girl to mommy. My girl to mommy. I defy my own demons. Don't you see? Don't know, don't you see if you get the problem? My girl's a mommy, my girl's a mommy, no.
Girls, then they like Takasufi. So many pretty girls, they inside my mule. I just then wonder.